Thanks for joining us, all of you listening in, wherever you are. And we have some interesting panelists today. We have one of our favorite panelists, Campbell. How are you today, Campbell?
I'm great, Doris. Thanks for having me.
And Campbell, would you introduce some of the other person who's the next panelist?
Sure. We also have my coworker here with me, Carolyn.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be on the panel today. I'm looking forward to this speed review.
Well, Carolyn is often on our skits that you'll see her on Let's Talk. And, of course, Campbell's on Let's Talk. And what else?
Oh, I also do a lot of work for the Studio Classroom magazine. So not just on TV and here on Advanced Radio, but also working on the magazines as well.
So we're glad that you could come and join us today because we're going to have a speed review, which is kind of like a book review, but it's a quick one, and that's very good for us. And then we have a very new panelist today. Would you like to introduce her?
Yes, today we have joining us Stephanie.
Hello.
Stephanie, we have another Stephanie that comes sometimes.
That's right.
So this is Stephanie number two, right? Stephanie is just with us for a very short time because she's still a student. Tell us about yourself, Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Stephanie, and I'm a student, and I'm actually interning at ORTV, which is very exciting and a great experience.
Where are you a student?
I am a student at Donghai University in Taichung.
Well, we're so glad that you could come. And I hear that you've had some of your education overseas, too, not just here in Taiwan.
Yes, that's right. I studied in the Netherlands.
How long did you study there?
Well, I lived there for 10 years.
10 years. Yeah. Where did you live? In Amsterdam?
No, I lived in Eindhoven, Leiden, and Middelburg.
So any of you listening in that have been there, you'll know where she's talking about. But, you know, that's a very interesting area, Holland, Netherlands. And we're so glad that she came back to Taiwan, and she's studying how to be a very good English teacher, right?
That's correct.
Fantastic.
So thanks for coming with us today. And this is your very first time to be on Advance, right?
Right.
Okay, well, don't be nervous because all the people listening in are very happy to have new voices.
That's
so
right.
Welcome. Let's give her a big welcome.
Yay.
Thank you. And the article today is on page 42. Tell us something about it, Campbell.
Well, today we're going to be doing a speed review. And as Doris said, the speed review is basically a book review. We're going to be learning about the book called 4 Seconds. And the author here, Peter Bregman, wrote a book about solutions to familiar mistakes.
It's nice that we can read these reviews of books because we don't have time to read a lot of books.
That's right.
So if that book seems really interesting, then some people might want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But usually we just know what it's about, and it keeps it up to date, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah. So these book reviews are very helpful in knowing, oh, this would be a good book for me to read, and it might be helpful.
Mm-hmm. When you read that title of the book, 4 Seconds, you know, it's kind of a short title, and you sort of wonder what it's about. What did you think when you read that name, 4 Seconds, Stephanie? What did you think?
I was like, what can I do in 4 seconds? What does he want? What?
What's going to happen? Something exciting might happen or
right.
something.
Yeah. 4 seconds is not a long time, but, you know, he actually wrote a whole book about it, so obviously something important can happen.
So we'll find out about that. And it said, it is solutions to familiar mistakes. So we all make mistakes. I wonder if there's anybody listening in or anybody here in this room who never made a mistake.
Well, I know you're perfect, right, Doris?
Oh, boy, I wish so. I think I make mistakes every day. What about you? Do you ever make mistakes?
Yeah, all the time.
Mm-hmm. But we learn from our mistakes, don't we?
Yes,
right.
We do.
And people do make mistakes, but there are solutions, and a solution is what?
It's a solution. It helps you to fix something.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it's the answer.
Okay, it makes it right. So we're going to find out what they are. Now, this man wrote the book. He looks pretty happy, smiling here. If you have your lesson, you can open up to page 42 in the magazine. And don't forget the QR code is on there if you want to check the introductions and the skits. They're all on your magazine if you have your smartphone. So that's what those cute little pictures are on there for the QR code. But now, let's read the very first section. And if you want to really work on your pronunciation and your learning, read out loud with us, and you'll remember it better. So let's read now the first column.
Four seconds. Solutions to familiar mistakes.
at a party in Greenwich Village, author and consultant Peter Bregman hears a yelp as one of the guests steps on the host's dog. The guest yells at the fleeing dog to watch out. Then, seeing Bregman looking at her, she explains that he's always in the way. As Bregman writes in his new book, 4 Seconds. Really? You step on a dog, and then you blame the dog? Who does that? Actually, a lot of us do. 4 Seconds is filled with behaviors and actions that a lot of us do. And most of those actions, Bregman argues, are actually self-defeating. Blaming others instead of taking responsibility, for example, makes people appear weak and dishonest, hurts one's self-esteem, and, perhaps most importantly, eliminates learning opportunities. When something is your fault and you don't admit it, in all probability, you'll make the same mistake in the future, which will lead to more blame, Bregman writes.
Thank you, Steve, for reading the lesson for us. And we're talking about a party or a gathering, and it happened to be in a place called Greenwich Village. And I think that's a place that Campbell must know about because Campbell's from New York.
That's right. Greenwich Village is a part of New York City. You know, when I was younger, I didn't know how to read it. I read it as Greenwich.
I know, it looks like that to me, too.
Yeah, but it's Greenwich Village, and it's a hip area of town.
Right. When you read that name, I think, what kind of a party was that? Because I think they have a lot of strange parties going on there.
Yes, but I think this is probably a very fancy party with lots of important guests.
Yes.
They had an author and a consultant there, and he happened to be there. And he isn't the one that made the mistake, though. He just heard somebody say this. What did he hear? What happened?
Well, he heard a dog yelp. Someone had stepped on the dog, maybe stepped on its tail, and the dog made a sound. It yelped. It cried out because it hurt.
Yeah, that's a good sound. Yeah, that sounds like it. Right. Well, then what happened after that?
Well, the guest did something kind of strange. She yelled at the dog and told it to watch out. But the dog was just laying there. It didn't need to watch out.
So he steps on the dog's tail, and then he hollers at the dog. He says, look out. Now, that happens sometimes, doesn't it?
That's right. So she was the one that made the mistake. She stepped on the dog, but then she blamed the dog for being in the way when maybe it wasn't really doing anything at all.
So then, of course, this man who was writing the article, Peter Bregman, he looked at her. And so she kind of looked at her and said, hey, what are you doing that for? I mean, he probably wondered why she yelled at the dog. And then what did she say?
She said, he's in the way. She's giving the dog the blame.
Right. Well, it's his dog's fault. In other words, she's saying, it's not my fault. That dog shouldn't be in my way. Mm-hmm. Now, is that right or not?
It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense because if the dog is laying on the floor, the people should watch where they're stepping and try to avoid stepping on the poor little dog.
Right, and the author here asks the question. He says, really? You step on a dog and then you blame the dog? Who does that?
Mm.
And the thing is, you know, a lot of us think, well, yeah, why would anyone do that? But the thing is, we all do that. A lot of us do that.
Right, we don't necessarily step on dogs, but we do things to blame people for something that's not their fault.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe it's something that it's our fault, but we try to push the blame on someone else.
So it wasn't the dog's fault. She blamed him. Sometimes we blame people for something that they couldn't help.
Right.
Something happened and we don't understand it and we blame them instead of trying to find out. That's what they're saying, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's true. A lot of us do that sometimes. So he said 4 seconds he thought about that and he wrote this book about it. Now, why do you think he wrote a book like that?
Well, he wrote this book to help people because as we know that he's an author and a consultant, so people hire him to help them do better. So as he's observing people, he noticed different things that people do that kind of hurt themselves or actually are the opposite, so counterproductive to what they're trying to accomplish.
Right. If we look down there about line, 12 or something, it talks about what happens. It says, when you do something like that, blame people, it's not their fault, It's self-defeating. Self-defeating. What does that mean?
Self-defeating just means that it's against what you're trying to accomplish. So,
right.
For example, he says blaming others instead of taking responsibility, for example, makes people appear weak and dishonest, hurts one's self-esteem, and perhaps most importantly, eliminates learning opportunities, which is actually the opposite of what you're trying to accomplish when you blame someone. Because when you blame someone, you're trying to look better. You're trying to look stronger. You're trying to not look as silly. But when you do blame others, you actually make yourself look bad.
Well, like it just says there, right? It says that what you do here is that you make other people look like they're weak or they're dishonest. You're saying, hey, you are the problem right there.
Yeah,
and,
so it does become self-defeating, right? It's doing the opposite of what you wanted it to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And so it also... It says eliminates learning opportunities. How could it eliminate learning opportunities? What can you learn from these experiences?
Well, because you're blaming others, you don't learn in that if you had blamed yourself, then you can think, how can I make this better? How can I learn? How can I change?
Right. So we can learn from a lot of our mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, but everybody doesn't learn from them. And if we learn from them, we become a better person, easier to live with, to get along with.
Right.
We can help people more. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of advantages to that.
Right. But if you never acknowledge your mistake, then you're not going to think, well, this is something I need to learn from.
Right. Because when something is your fault and you don't admit it, then what might happen?
Well, you have a very good chance of making the same mistake again in the future.
Right. And so if you just keep on doing that, you'll never take the blame yourself. Now, why don't we want to take the blame ourselves?
Well, it's hard for people to admit that they're wrong. We don't like to say, oh, this was my fault. I didn't do this properly.
Because you don't look like you're very perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
We
and
want
we're afraid to get in
perfect.
Trouble, I think.
Yeah.
We're afraid that people are going to get mad at us or that we're going to, you know, and we're used to other people blaming us and that doesn't feel so good.
They might not like you.
Right, yeah.
Probably the opposite. They will like you better if you take the blame. But
exactly.
We kind of feel like, well, I'm innocent. We like to be innocent.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we have to take the blame. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with you guys. I think it's very difficult for people to actually, you know,
take the blame.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's no fun.
I think it's really interesting because it's not something you necessarily think about. You know, like as the example with the dog, I don't think that the guest, she thought about, you know, what she was doing. It was just kind of a knee-jerk reaction of, hey, you get out of my way. You know, she didn't think about it. But I think that's what the whole book is about. If you take 4 seconds to think, then you really make the best choice.
That's true. So this caused him to write the book. There were lots of other incidents that he knew of, but he just used this as an example. And it's kind of a good example because it has to do with a dog instead of people. But we do the same thing to people. Sometimes, you know, it's our fault and somebody gets in our way and we say, get out of my way.
Right.
And it's your fault sometimes because you were in a rush or something.
Yeah, yesterday when I was driving on the street, I saw this accident. And I couldn't hear the dialogue, but I could just see, you know, the two people were in an argument. They're pointing at each other and, you know, almost getting into a fist fight because there's the accident. And
all blaming each other.
Exactly,
right? That's one of the big causes. Blame is really, really a bad thing. In fact, a lot of marriages don't last because they're always blaming each other.
That's right.
Friendships stop.
Yes.
And people don't work well in offices because they blame them. You use too much paper from the copy machine or whatever it is, little things.
Right.
And pretty soon they start blaming people, and that's very unhappy for the office even.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people go around being victims. They feel that it's, you know, life is not fair. It's because other people do this to me. But they don't realize, you know, they have their own choices that they make that create the environment as well.
That's true. So blame is something we have to be careful of, not blaming others and take the blame when we need to. So this is what he's talking about here. But let's see what 4 seconds has to do about it. Because like you just said, Campbell, 4 seconds means something here. Let's find out more about it as we read the next section. It's called The Mistakes We Make. We're on page 42. So let's read the rest of today's lesson.
The Mistakes We Make. In 51 short, engaging chapters, Bregman offers a litany of the common mistakes and actions that most of us make, and then describes the solution. The first step in every case, however, is the same. Take a breath. Take the 4 seconds you need to inhale and exhale, urges Bregman, which will give you the time to act or react appropriately and constructively. Don't blame the dog. Take the blame instead, is a chapter in the book section on strengthening relationships. One of 3 sections, the others are entitled Optimize Work Habits and Change Your Mental Defaults. Other chapters related to strengthening relationships include lessons on not writing people off, but remaining aware of their faults, changing your expectations when people consistently fail to meet your original expectations, and giving people the benefit of the doubt if they are suddenly unreasonable because something else is going on.
Well, in this article, I think there's some good phrases that we often use, and we'll talk about them in this section of the lesson. But this book has how many chapters? How many chapters in the book?
51.
51. It says short. That's good, because I don't like long chapters. But it also says they're engaging chapters.
Yes, which means that they're very interesting and you want to keep reading them. And probably because they're short, it's easy to stay interested in what it's talking about.
Right, and it's engaging. That's what you said, it holds your attention. And the fact that he starts this book out instead of saying, when you make mistakes, don't do this, people might not want to read it. But when you talk about stepping on a dog, then you get people's attention. It's more like a story. So he uses different ways, different examples to keep your attention, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good way to do this. But it says he offers a litany of common mistakes. Tell us more what that means, Pam.
Well, litany is a long list of unpleasant things, especially things that are repeated. So he gives a list of common mistakes and actions that most of us make. And then he gives a solution. He gives an answer to how to fix these problems.
So it sounds like a very interesting book. In a way, it would be nice just to have, you know, here's the list, here's what we do, and here's what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like lists, 1, 2, 3, 4,
right.
Sort of like you do on the web when you do that. That's
right.
Easier to read.
Yeah.
But the book's probably pretty interesting.
Yeah,
right,
it sounds actually very interesting.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think that would be an interesting book?
Yeah, I think it'd be very interesting. And I love to read books, so...
Yeah, and that would be good. In fact, it could be good to help other people, too, if they have problems. And
mm-hmm.
then you could say, well, yeah, here's some things you might be interested in. And you
right.
could help them read it, too.
Right. So he's got a litany of the mistakes and actions that we all make. But the first step in every case, however, is the same. Take a breath. So no matter what the mistake is, the first step you do is to take a breath.
There's another expression here. He says take 4 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. That might not be long enough. There's an expression that we often say before you answer an anger, what are you supposed to do?
Count to 10.
Count to 10. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that one before. People say before you answer somebody quickly or angrily or anything,
mm-hmm.
count to 10.
That's right.
If you count to 10, you might not be mad at your wife or your husband or your kids or whatever.
Right.
Even if your kids do something that irritates you, count to 10 before
yes.
you spank them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I often
yeah.
have to do that.
Yeah. Do you ever do that, Campbell?
Often. Yes.
Because then you'll do it in a calmer way. You still might discipline them, but you won't just do it.
Right, exactly.
It.
Yeah, I think a lot of the problems that I personally have is I'm very reactive, you know, instead
sure.
of proactive.
Everybody
so I think,
is, yeah.
you know, something happens and then I just respond right away.
Right.
But I think the key here is if I can slow myself down, take a few mm-hmm. seconds to really process what is happening, and then I can give a more appropriate and constructive response.
See, now Campbell's mm-hmm. taking the blame. That's good. He's not blaming his wife or the kids.
Right.
But, yeah. you know, that's very important in a relationship, too. And even for kids, they know you're going to do something. And if daddy counts to 10, they know there's something's going to happen anyway. But it gives them a little chance to not to react.
Right, yeah.
yeah. That's
yeah.
good.
Well, I think for the point is, the seconds is not the... important is the important point is to stop and think, not immediately react like the woman did. She immediately reacted to the dog and told her, watch out, even though it wasn't the dog's fault.
That's right, Stephanie. You got the main point of it, just to react quickly. And it gives you time to react appropriately. This word, when you say appropriate, means to do the right thing in the way you should. So to do it the right thing, and there's another word that says after that, it says to react appropriately and constructively.
Yes.
Right. So if you
react constructively.
If you do react constructively, that means that you're building on something. Mm-hmm. So you've learned from the situation and you're trying to improve.
Right. That your reaction is helpful rather than destructive or hurtful.
Well, I think, you know, you can do that with your kids, like you said, Campbell, because if you do it the right way to them, now, Daddy doesn't really like you to do that. So next time, it will be constructive, and they'll know that Daddy doesn't like that. Mm-hmm. But if you just reach out and hit them once or something, they're not going to, why did you hit me? And they aren't going to learn from it.
Right.
So if they know why that makes you feel bad or something, then it will be constructive in teaching them, right?
Right, exactly. So it's being helpful, and it's something that builds, as Carolyn was saying, it's something that builds on and improves for the future.
It would be interesting if they told us other names of the chapters, because there's 52 chapters, but what is one chapter that they told us here in line 5?
It's one of the chapters is called Don't Blame the Dog, Take the Blame Instead.
So probably, you know, he catches your attention with these little kinds of things. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to find out what the other chapters are.
That's right?
But this is a chapter, and what does that chapter tell us about mostly?
Well, it focuses on strengthening relationships, and we want to improve our relationships. Unlike earlier, we talked about how if you blame others, it makes you appear weak and dishonest and hurts your self-esteem and eliminates learning opportunities. So it's hurtful for your relationships. People don't appreciate it when you blame others when it's your fault.
Okay. What are the others entitled and called?
Well, the other sections are entitled Optimize Work Habits.
And what does that mean, to optimize work habits?
It means to make your work habits work to your advantage.
Okay. Make the most of. When
That's
you
right.
optimize, that means to make the most of something. So have the best work habits. What's the next one, Campbell?
Change your mental defaults.
Now that's kind of harder to extend.
Well, a default is something that you do or something that you think without thinking. So it's an action that you do without too much thought. So if you can change these defaults, you change your habits, then you can improve your life.
Okay, so that's under Don't Blame the Dog chapter. But they have other chapters. What are they related to then?
Well, they have chapters related to strengthening relationships, and those include a lot of interesting points. And the first one mentioned here is that you shouldn't write people off, which means that you decide that the person is unimportant or they're not going to be helpful anymore, so you're just going to ignore
them. Cross them off
your list. Yeah,
right.
They're not
going
to be
like, oh, you're never going to amount to anything. Yeah, you're never going to do anything good, so you forget
you. All of us do that sometimes. People, that person, they're never going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give up on them. Don't give up on people, right? Yeah, this is why I'm glad to know that God doesn't give up on us. You know, we make mistakes, and he forgives us many, many times. And sometimes people say, I'm never going to forgive you anymore. It's your last chance.
Mm.
With God, you always got one more chance.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so this is why we learn that we shouldn't write people off. God gives us another chance. Give people another chance. What do you think?
Isn't
that important, though?
Yeah, very important.
And no matter how many times, some people say, I've told you 100 times, they tell them 101 times, right?
Right.
Don't write people off. That's a good expression. Do not write people off. But you can remain aware of their faults. What's the second thing we could do?
There's also changing your expectations when people constantly fail to meet your original expectations.
Now, that's kind of hard to do because, let's say, okay, Stephanie, you came to work here and I thought you were going to be a great writer and you wrote one thing and I don't like it. And you wrote second thing, I don't like it. Okay, I'm going to cross you off. But that's not right, is it?
Mm-hmm.
It says here that we need to, even if you didn't make this, then try again. Let's try something else. And maybe we'll find the right way to help you to do it. That's better than just to say, oh, you're never going to make it. Right. We do that sometimes with relationships, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, for just a silly example is, you know, my wife is constantly late and I'm constantly, you know, expecting her to be on time. So instead of expecting her to change and expecting her to be on time, I've changed and I've started to kind of quote unquote lie to her and tell, if I need to leave at 10, I'm going to tell her I need to leave at 9:30. You know, and so I'm changing my expectations of her. I know she's not going to be on time, but I'm going to help her be on time by telling her an earlier time.
But that's a good secret, Campbell, to a good marriage, because when you get married, you always think that people are going to be exactly like you want them to be, and they aren't going to be.
Right.
So you have to change your expectations and do not expect them. My mother used to always tell me, when you marry somebody, don't think you're going to change them. Most people, when they get married, say, well, I don't like this about them, but they'll change after I marry them.
No. Right.
But I don't think that's true. Is that true or not?
No, they don't change.
New married couples. You know, people, you don't,
I mean, people do change, but
I
think,
you don't expect them to, though. I mean,
exactly.
You cannot expect. They might change a little bit,
right.
But they're not going to change fundamentally their whole way that they've been brought up.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't expect to be the one to change them.
No.
And the changes that do happen are not necessarily the changes that you were hoping for.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
so this is a very good advice here. If they don't meet what you originally thought, whether it's a classmate or an office mate or a schoolmate or a husband or wife, don't give up just because they don't meet your expectations. So you're supposed to give people the benefit of the doubt. That's another thing. Now, that's another good phrase. What does it mean to give somebody the benefit of the doubt?
Well, it means you're faced with a situation where you could think positively about a person or negatively, and you decide to go with the positive option.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe someone that was reliable before has started coming into work late every day, and you think that, oh, this person is not reliable anymore, I don't want them in my company.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give them the benefit of the doubt, you may find that there's actually something quite serious going on, perhaps health problems, or a family situation that's causing this change.
Right, so thinking the best of someone. I mean, one example is just the other day I was at a playground and this little girl kind of like rushed past my daughter, almost knocking her over, and I was looking around for her mom and I see her mom just staring at her cell phone, and I'm like, excuse me, your daughter just knocked my daughter over, you know? And I kind of got mad at the mom thinking like, you're not paying attention to your daughter, but then in my heart I felt a little nudging that I should give her the benefit of the doubt. You know, I should think maybe there's something important she's doing on her phone, and that's why she's not paying attention to her daughter, instead of thinking the worst of her.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all the time we have today, but we are going to talk about this more tomorrow because it's a good subject, and we only have 4 seconds left before the program is over, so be sure and tune in tomorrow to hear part two. Will you all be here with us, all the panelists? And you too, listening in today, be sure and be with us tomorrow. For now, we'll say goodbye.
Bye.